There's a really interesting juxtaposition. I guess that's the word. Because in the Old Testament, we have the establishment of what we know as marriage. They didn't call it marriage back then, but we know that that's what it becomes. That's what it was. And then in our gospel reading, we hear talk of the end of marriage, the end of a marriage. So I want to speak today about those two things and about what goes on in the middle, and that's life. Now, I know that many of us have experience with divorce in one way or another. Either we've been divorced, or our parents have been divorced, or we know people who have been divorced, either in our families or in our friendships. So I want to be sensitive to that, but I also want to bring the truth. So I pray that I'll be able to do that today. In our Old Testament lesson, we read about the creation of woman, Eve, the first woman. Now, I would encourage you, if you come into contact with anybody that says that women in the church are second-class citizens or women are somehow diminished in the church, don't believe them, because it's not true. Amen. And a lot of times those people, they're either just ignorant or they're out to cause trouble within the church. And we only have to look to the Blessed Mother, Mary, about how God raised woman to a high place of honor and dignity and love. Marriage. You know, I started to try to get the video clip of the Princess Bride movie. Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. And you know, we've heard time and time again, you know, the creation of woman, she was taken from Adam's side, not his foot, not his head, but his side. And the scripture says that I will make him, this is the Lord talking, I will make him a helper as his partner, an equal partner, an equal helper. But we look one chapter over in Genesis 3, and we see shortly after the creation of woman and the establishment of what we know as marriage, Satan comes into the picture. And he tempts the woman. And it's a very interesting story if you read it. And I was going over it. And Satan is very beguiling, very cunning, more so than what we give him credit for, because he, through the temptation of the woman, he put Adam in a very awkward spot. See, what Satan was doing when he tempted the woman, Eve, was he was directly attacking the unity of man and wife, the unity of husband and wife, because it put Adam in a tight spot. So Imagine this. Adam, the woman is tempted by Satan. And Adam sees the woman. Eve offers him a bite. So Adam has a decision to make. Does he honor God? Does he keep the commandment to not eat of the tree? Does he stay true to what he was made to be by avoiding temptation? Or does he take the apple and take a bite? See, this was an attack on the unity of husband and wife, because I believe that Adam knew what would happen, because God told him what would happen. He said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. So Adam had a choice to make. Because he was kind of late to the game, and Eve, I think, had already taken a bite, he had to decide, do I want to continue to live my life in communion and honor with God and live my life alone here in the garden? Because Eve took a bite, she would die. We believe God at his word. Or does Adam aspire to continue the unity that God instilled in the relationship of husband and wife to his own detriment, ultimately? So Adam obviously made the choice to take a bite of the apple. And I believe that he took that bite of the apple as a way to honor and maintain the unity that God had instilled in his soul, the way it's supposed to be between husband and wife. Because Adam wanted to be with his wife. He didn't want to be alone. And unfortunately, he chose against God's will. He chose against the commandment of God not to eat the apple. So sin comes into the world. It permeates our beings. It permeates creation. And it permeates all our relationships. And we know that Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden together. The unity was there, but they no longer had the complete blessings of the Creator. They had consequences to pay for their actions. Pain in childbirth, sweat and toil in tending the land, countless other things. So marriage was perfect and blissful for a short time. And then it got hard. Life got hard. And so our gospel reading sees the Pharisees come again to test Jesus and to test the disciples. They ask Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment to you." Now, because of your hardness of heart, divorce at that time, the time of Moses, was a thing that was already happening. Moses encountered the concept of divorce within the people. And in Matthew, a reading in Matthew, the version of this reading in Matthew says that Jesus rebuked them, saying, "You know that from the creation, this was not so." In other words, that it was designed by God for man and wife to be together from the inception of a marriage to natural death. But we know that that's the ideal. We know that that doesn't always happen for various reasons. And again, I want to be sensitive because I know there are people that have gone through that. And the scripture has reasons for divorce being allowed. And certainly the Lord would not want someone to stay in a marriage where they suffer physical abuse or emotional abuse or things like that. But lifelong marriage is an ideal. But just because it's an ideal doesn't mean that it's something that cannot happen. Now, you walk into the grocery store and you get ready to check out. You go up to the checkout line and you look to your right or to your left. You see all these magazines, right? There are a bunch of ideals on those magazines. You come home from a long day of work. You sit down on the couch. You turn on the TV. You see all these commercials for this and that. It's a bunch of ideals, right? You see perfect, beautiful people with perfect products and other perfect things. The culture is idealistic. But marriage is an ideal, and it's an ideal because it's hard. And we don't abandon the ideal just because it's hard. God gives us the grace and the mercy to aspire to the ideal. And he gives us the grace to achieve it in many cases. And for those of us who were not able to attain to the ideal, there is mercy, there's forgiveness, there is a renewed wholeness that comes from the mercy of God. And there are, I would just say there are plenty, there are a number of programs out there. If you're struggling with your marriage, if you're struggling with your relationship between your husband and wife, I would encourage you to talk to a priest or talk to a Christian counselor, specifically someone with a strong biblical foundation. And if you have been divorced, if you are still hurting from a divorce, there are a number of programs out there that can come alongside you and walk with you through that pain. They can help you analyze yourself in a godly way and walk with you through that pain so that you don't have to stay in that pain, because that pain hurts. It's very hurtful. It hurts. It's hard. But there is healing through the mercy of God after divorce. Now, I'm trying to think, the last marriage we had at this church was probably Jenny and Jamarcus, right? I think that was the last one. What a glorious day that was. And we see the fruit of that marriage right there. Yep. Yesterday here at the church, we had a funeral. We gathered together with the family of Mary Kelso, longtime member of this church, who sat right there. And we said prayers over her body. We said prayers with her living family members. I would ask you to consider what will be your role and what will you do? What will you rejoice in? What will you be sorrowful for when the day comes when your spouse is right here, not standing up, laying out? We are called to defend marriage and to defend marriage relationships, because as I've already said, Satan is out to attack marriage. Satan believes that if he can attack marriage, he hates anything that God created. And if he can come after marriage, if he can come after husbands and wives and children, then he can get to the broader church. Because the church begins with the family. The family is the domestic church. Husbands have to pray for their wives. Intensely pray for their wives. Wives have to intensely pray for their husbands. Parents for the children. Children for the parents. Because the attacks of Satan don't stop. They don't stop. And I don't want people in this room on that day when a family member is laid out here in front of the altar. I don't want anybody to say, well, I should have prayed more for this person. I should have loved this person more. I should have done this or that. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Now, pray for your spouses. Proverbs chapter 20 says, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? Are we going to be faithful to our spouses? Or are we going to just have words? Oh, I love you. I care for you. I adore you. But it's just words off the lips and off the tongue. Nothing behind it with action from the heart. For those of you who are not married, either by loss of a spouse or just not married, I haven't forgotten you either. You know, one of the things that is a killer of a marriage is selfishness. And we go through life and circumstances happen and things happen, and we may not be totally aware all the time. We may not be contemplating anything. But it's kind of like, it's like you look at some old buildings sometimes and you see the gutters on the tops of the buildings, and somehow dirt has been deposited in those gutters. Seeds get down in the gutters. And after a while, you got a little pine tree growing in your gutter. You know? We don't want to have a pine tree growing in our gutter. We want to ask the Lord to continue to make us aware enough to be able to pluck out that seed of selfishness while it's still small, so that we can be self-sacrificing, be self-giving. Those are just two keys to a happy and strong marriage. And for those of you who are not married, selfishness is a problem, obviously. And you need to ask the Lord to help you pluck any seeds of selfishness out of your life, because it can divert you from your calling and the mission in your life that God has. Because selfishness keeps us from being totally self-sacrificing and self-giving. This is a word for all of us, married, single, widowed, divorced. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to chapter 5, verse 2. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, you know, when people get married, especially in this church and many others, there's the scripture reading about Christ, about women and men. Women, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. Men, we have to be self-sacrificing. We have to be willing to give up our entire bodies for our families, for our wives, for our children. Because that scripture verse goes on to say, what man hates his body? No man hates his body, but cherishes it and nourishes it. And when we marry, our body is joined to our spouse, and we love and cherish that spouse. So put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling. You know, one of the things that the church needs to do a better job of is marriage preparation and coming alongside young couples that are contemplating marriage and helping them to learn to understand what marriage is about and how the Lord sees marriage, and being self-sacrificing and self-giving are those two keys. Again, Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? People who are not married, be faithful. Be faithful to the calling that God has you in right now. Be faithful to the calling of God's mission on your heart. Married folks, be faithful. Be faithful to your spouse, to your children. Be faithful to the calling that God has put on your heart, because marriage is hard. And we need God's help to make it fruitful, to make it holy, to make it something that will impact the greater world. So I call on you today to ask for the Lord's mercy, to ask Him to show you where you can be a better husband. Show Him where you can be a better wife. Ask Him to show you where you can be a better single person. How God would have you to live your life in service to others for His glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.